everybody. We left off in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, the series of Shurim this year are all dedicated to Zechem Nishmas, Chaim Rav Avraham Arbisfeld, who was one of the original founders of this shir over 40 years ago. He passed away a few months ago from the coronavirus. We learned the dinim of Kibud V'Yoneg. You mentioned the Rambam has in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, Per Choptes, he writes that there are four mitzvahs regarding Shabbos, two in Chumash and two in Sefer Yishai. So the two in Chumash are Zocha v'Shamar. Shamar means Hashem Shabbos not to do malocha. Shamar is a lois essay. And Zocha is the essay of reciting Kiddush, Lahazakir, to mention Kiddush's Hayan. And then the two Medivri Kabbalah, the two mitzvahs in Novi Yishaya, are Kibud V'Yoneg. So what exactly is included in Kibud? What is Yoneg? So Kibud means all the hacha. The Vilna Gaon writes in Hilchos Yontif, the siman about Simchas Yontif. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it's the very last siman of Chelekei in Hilchos Pesach about Simchas Yontif. So the Bir Agro there gives the definition. Rav Soloveitchik used to say over in the name of the Gro that Kibud means all the hachanas that are done in advance of Shabbos, and only means the pleasure that you have on Shabbos. You put up the chalent on Erev Shabbos, that's Kibud, and then you eat the chalent on Shabbos, that's fine. You vacuum the rug on Erev Shabbos, that's Kibud, and then you enjoy the fact that the house is clean. Set the table on Erev Shabbos, then you enjoy on Shabbos. You enjoy this fact that everything is neat and clean. Put on Big Day Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, and then you enjoy the fact that you're wearing beautiful clothing on Shabbos. So, Rav Soloveitchik mentioned a very interesting Me'iri in Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says, depending on that pasuk in Yishai, the Karasa the Shabbos Oneg, the Kedosh Hashem Mechubot. So the Gemara says, the Kedosh Hashem Mechubot, the Yom HaKippurim, She'ein bo lo achila ve lo shtia. So therefore, you have to be Mekayim Kibud, because you're not going to have too much Oneg. So the Me'iri there has an interesting comment. We have a Minig, that we wear, many have a minig, you only wear the kittel on Yom Kippur, you don't wear on Rosh Hashanah. Many have the minig, you wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay? Yom Neira, serious. But many have the minig, you only wear the kittel on Yom Kippur. Why is that? So it could be that the white beggar is to remind us of the big day Lovan of the Kohen Gadol. Could be. But we have another minig that usually we wear at Talis, when we daven Shachris and Musaf in the morning. When we daven Mincha on Shabbos or the weekdays, we don't wear the talis by Mincha and by Marav. Also, just the Chazan wears a talis because of Kavarat Tzibur. And you don't wear a talis Balayla. Balayla is a machlokes, where they say bracha on Kstus Yom Balayla, where they say bracha. So we avoid it. We don't wear a talis Balayla. Only Slichas. And then talk a discussion. The Chazan shouldn't put on his own talis. He should wear someone else's talis. There would be more reason why you should not say a bracha. So the minig is that on Yom Kippur, we wear a talis 24 hours. We are all night long, but we say the Ma'ariv, we say the Slichas after Ma'ariv, we wear a talis, we put on the talis Mubal Yom, otherwise you can't say a bracha. And then on Yom Kippur, we wear the talis, not only when we dam Shachar Zimus, when we dam Mincha Nilo, so we wear the talis the whole day long. So why is it that we're makbid more on the bigot? Again, you can say that the kittel is reminiscent of the big day Lovan of Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik was assuming, this Me'iri is assuming that on Yom Kippur, because there's very little oinig, oinig is usually achila shtia, tashmish amita, oinig tamachalcham, the Erev Shabbos, but on Yom Kippur you don't have that. It's also b'tashmish amita, it's also achila shtia. So you don't really have too much einig. So the Miri writes, because there's a lack of einig, that's why you should double up and do twice as much kibud. So that's why you always need neiris, dolkos, every Shabbos and Yom Tov. You don't want to sit in the dark. But on Yom Kippur, the meaning is you have extra neiris. You have more neiris in the shul. And we have extra kibud, mechabda b'ksus nekiya. So we're more makbid on the inyan of Ksus Nikiya on Yom Kippur than on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. So maybe that's the Miri suggests. maybe that's the reason for the minig, that we wear the talmus a whole day long on Yom Kippur, and that we wear the kittel on Yom Kippur also, as opposed to other Shabbos and other Yom Kippur.
Excuse me, you ever just the Benny out for, and I just want to know whether we can dedicate the shir, part of the shir, the Zecher Nishma Shimon ben Yaakov Yud Zayin and Shvat, my father's year.
My father, yeah. There's some people have the practice, they'll take a shower Friday morning, and then they rush into Shabbos, they don't take the shower later in the day. So if you have no choice, look, if you have school all day, you have work all day, they come home the last minute. So we don't want the person to be Michal Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah complains about that a few times, that people come home from work and then they heat up water and it's already Bein HaShmashas, they're taking the bath or they're taking the shower, and Bein HaShmashas are doing Malacha. So that for sure is not for. But let's say if a person has the option of either taking the shower in the morning or taking the shower later in the day, so the Ramo at the end of Siman Reish Samach Beis writes, more correct is to bathe Samach L'Shabbos, that it should be more nicker, should be more obvious that it's L'Kvod Shabbos that the person is doing it. Reish Samach Gimel is about Hadlokas HaNeres. We spoke a little bit about Hadlokas HaNeres. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a penalty if a woman forgot to light Neres one week. So there's a knas, so for the rest of her life, the Ramo has it in Sif Aleph. Isha Shishachra Pamachas La'adlik, Madlekas, Kol Yameha, Gimel Neres. Usually you light two Neres, one Keneged Zohar, one Keneged Shamar, because of that Agadat in Perek Bamer Madlika, and the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the cave. The second time he came out of the cave, the first time he came out of the cave, he was upset why the people are Oisik and Oilam Hazeh so much. So he went back into the cave for another year. And when he came back the second time, so it was Erev Shabbos, and the farmer was walking with two flowers, and he asked them, what are the two flowers all about? He said, one Keneged Zohar, one Keneged Shamar, and he was very impressed. So because of the farmer had such a good idea, so that's what we do. We light a minimum of two candles. Whenever something is Keneged, we want to have two candles, Keneged Zohar B'Shamar. A lot of women light more than two candles. Many women have the practice, depending on how many children they have, they light another candle for each child. Some light each grandchild. They light the 35 candles, one for each grandchild. Okay. So the Rama says, whenever you do something keneged, like the two candles, keneged zocha v'shamar, so the keneged is always the minimum. If you do more, it's avada good. That's the minimum that you have to have. So here it says that if a woman once forgot to tzindon licht, they quote a penalty from the Maharil, that for the rest of her life she should light three candles. So the Shmir Shabsach Kilchasa quotes Achreinim who say that the Pashtus is that the penalty was that she forgot to tzindon licht and they're sitting in the dark. And the dining room is dark. So that she deserves a penalty. Shabbos, he can't turn on the lights, and Amir Eliakim is also, even though it's a Mokka Mitzvah, it's not a Shuz de Shuz. Yes, Kagoi, to turn on the lights is a real Malacha Deraisa. So they're going to sit and eat in the dark. But today, if a woman forgot the bench lift, probably the chandelier is on, all the electric lights around. The other thing is she forgot, you're supposed to turn off all the lights and light the candles and turn on the lights, and then the bracha goes on everything. So she forgot to do the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeres, but they're not sitting in the dark. It's not such a disaster. So the Shemir Shabbos Gochase quotes that the Pashtus is that it was Banazef, a woman forgot to light the candles, but the whole house is lit up. He wouldn't have this penalty. Here in the neighborhood, they tell over this story. I live in Washington Heights, and they tell over this story. But many of the Yekkes, they only light two candles. So if a woman is going to have three candles, it's going to be obvious that she once forgot to tzindon licht. So it's going to be humiliating. If a woman lights 10 candles instead of 9, because she has so many children, whatever, grandchildren, so not everybody's going to realize that there's an extra candle. Nobody knows how many lights she lights. But if everybody else lights two candles, she's going to have three. It's going to be very bolate. So it'll be humiliating and be embarrassing. They say Rabbi Breuer recommended, instead of lighting with regular sized candles, you should light with taller candles. That's what it says here in the Shulchan Aruch also. If a woman is an aniya, she's poor and she can't afford to light another candle. Another candle costs more money. She can't afford to light another candle. So it says, if she lights with oil, so she should pour a little extra oil in each time. So the same thing Rav Breuer said, if it'll be humiliating to light another candle, so you put longer candles, taller candles, you put in more oil, so the problem's a little long. That's how it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Here in the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that it's not proper to be madlik Leir Shabbos too early. One says too early. You shouldn't say bracha l'adlik Neshal Shabbos before plag ha-mincha. So now people have dug up sources in Achrayim, early Achrayim. The Ramo was in the 1500s. They dug up from Achrayim from the 1400s who say that it is okay to say the bracha l'adlik Neshal Shabbos before plag ha-mincha. So some people are all excited about this. So, let's say sometimes the wife passed away and the husband is all by himself. So he has to go to shul to daven, and they're davening early. So they're going to daven mincha before plag mincha, then they're going to speak Mekabel Shabbos after plag mincha. So he has to come home in between. So he's going to light candles before he goes to daven mincha, before plag. So he's going to light batata bracha. So some people are pushing that we should go back to the old position, the old psak, before the days of the Ramah, from the Trumas Hadesh, from earlier, that maybe it's not so big. I didn't see why it's necessary. So you light the candles without a bracha. The meaning has been for so many centuries that we follow this Ramah, that you don't say a bracha on Hadlokas HaNeris if you're lighting before plag mincha. I think we should remain with that practice. Yeah. Here in Reish Samach Gimel, the end of Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch has a din that's borrowed from Hilchas Chanukah. It's interesting that in Hilchas Chanukah we say Hadlaka is a mitzvah. Let's say a person who lights Ner Chanukah l'malei Mesra Mama lo yotza. So what if the person will light the Ner Chanukah l'malei Mesra Mama, then he'll lower it. But at the time that he did the Hadlaka, it wasn't to the Mokam HaKosher l'Hadlaka. Or he'll light the Ner Chanukah l'mato me'asara tvochim. I think the Gemara says it should be l'malei me'asara tvochim. So let's say, bizman ha-gemara that they lit outside. So if you light inside, you're not yetzi. You have to light dafke outside, where you have maximum tisumei nisa. So if a person lights the Ner Chanukah inside, then he takes it outside. So we say he's not yotzei, because he lit it b'psul, and the din is hadlaka is a mitzvah. We don't say hanocha is a mitzvah. You can't take the menorah from one location where you're not yotzei and put it in a location where you are yotzei. That's not good. Let's say I light the menorah in my next door neighbor's home, then I'll carry it to my home. I live in the next building. Let's say I ran out of candles. I go to the next door neighbor and I take candles. I say the bracha l'hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, but I'm not yet. If I light in someone else's home, then we should basically have to light in your own home. Then I'm going to carry the menorah with the candles lit from the other fellow's apartment into my apartment. So the din is you have to blow out the candles and light it again. So here in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that din, Bahadlaka Shabbos, Ner Shabbos also, that the woman should say that whoever is lighting the candles, shall light it in the location where they plan to leave the candles. Shouldn't light it in one location and then take it. Let's say you want to have the candles on the table where we're going to eat. So it should be a light there. The Iker Hadlokas HaNeris is B'makam Achila. That's what the Mefarshim explained. Why is on Yom Kippur there are two minhagim? Makam Shenoga Lahadlikas HaNer Madlikim, Makam Shenoga Shelo Lahadlikas HaNer Ein Madlikim HaSaner. How come there's no Takanas Chachamim? Every Shabbos and every Yom Tov there's a Takana. You have to be Madlikas HaNeris. So why is Yom Kippur dependent on Minin Hamkaimus? So the Mefarshim all explain. Because the Iker Takanas Chachamim was on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the light, B'mokam Achila. Yom Kippur, there is no Achila. So that's why there never was a Takana of Hadlokas HaNeris. The din is that you can be yotze, strictly speaking, can be yotze hadlakas aneres even shalabim makam achila. Let's say tonight we're going to eat in the yeshiva. Tonight we're going to eat by friends, but then we're going to walk home again to sleep in our own home. So if we spoke about all the klonim, if they're two different, you have the makam achila and the makam shina, the place where I sleep and the place where I eat, which one is beso? The hadlaka has to be the beso. So if one is kavua and one is aroi, I'm going to sleep in my home. I always sleep in my own home. I'm going to eat by the neighbor, by a friend, once a year, five times a year, whatever, we eat by the friend. But then, so I have a toss-up. Where should I light the nearest? So if one of them is basi kavua, one of them is basi aroi, the makam achila is only aroi. It's once or five times a year, something like that. And I'm going to sleep in my own apartment. That's kavua, that's basi. So you do the hadlok of the basi. It's not going to be makam asuda. So mehikar adin, the whole takana was because on Shabbos and Yom Tov you should light. The ikar takana was to light the makam asuda, but the takana was to light. That's why they never made a takana hadlokas haneres on Yom Kippur. Depends on the minig amakam. But the din is once in a while you light the day, so even though it's not the makam asuda, you're going to eat the suda somewhere else. You have to be madlik the day. So let's say. I ran out of candles and I went to the next door neighbor and he gave me candles and I'll say the bracha l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos and I'll carry the candles with the candlestick into, let's say, the different size candlesticks. You need different size candles. So I went to the neighbor, he has all the different sizes of candles. So the candles fit in, so I lit it and I said the bracha. So that's not proper. It says just like in Hilchas Chanukah, the Gemara comes from Maskana, Hadlaka is a mitzvah, you have to be madlik, b'mokam ha-mitzvah. So to on Shabbos also, the din is hadlaka is a mitzvah. You shouldn't light in one place and then carry the leichter to a different location. The rest of the dinim of hadlaka is more or less pretty well known. Yeah, the women usually are mekabel Shabbos when they're madlik, and the men usually are not mekabel Shabbos when they're madlik. Yeah, that we discussed already. In Rei Samachay, there's a din, a beferish din from the Gemara. Some people are not aware. Let's say you have wax candles and the wax is dripping on the tablecloth. And you're afraid the wax is going to ruin the tablecloth, or it's going to get stuck to the tablecloth. So you want to put a plate underneath, right next to the candlestick. So when it drips, it should drip on the plate. You want to put a napkin there, a paper napkin, so it should drip on the napkin, you're going to throw the napkin out. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do that because the candle has the flame on top of it, so the flame is muktzah on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, the flame is not muktzah because you permit it, it's a dovish yesh po hishtamshus. On Yom Tov, you can light another candle from this candle. You're not allowed to be motzi esh mechadosh. Molid esh mechadosh is on Yom Tov. To strike a match on Yom Tov is awesome. Most poskim assume it's only awesome in the Rabbanim. When our Torah doesn't make a difference whether you strike a match or you light a candle from an already existing flame. The Taz wants to come to the Chiddush that it's a melacha deraisa to strike a match on Yom Tov, and the Taz's opinion has not been accepted. All the poskim assume that it's a nisa de Rabbanim. So on Yom Tov, the flame is not muktzah, because it has a shtamshus. On Shabbos, the flame doesn't have a shtamshus. You can read l'ora there. The light that comes out has a shtamshus, but the flame itself doesn't have a shtamshus. Something that doesn't have a shtamshus is considered muktzah. So on Shabbos, the flame is muktzah. So because the flame is muktzah, so the candle is considered basas l'dabah ha'asar. So if any of the oil, when the candle, let's say I have oil with a wick, or a wax candle with a wick in it. So the flame is muktzah, so all the wax below it, or all of the oil below that flame, has the status of a basas davar asa. So basas davar asa is also considered like muktzah. So if you're going to put a plate on Shabbos in a location where you know that the oil that's muktzah, because of buses, the oil is going to drip on it, or the wax is going to drip on it, then the plate that you put there is going to become a buses of the hasar. So the Gemara said, that's a din mevatel kli mehechonai. The napkin or the plate was not muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos. By your putting it there and causing the wax to fall on it, you're causing the plate or the napkin to become mukta, and that's some kind of an isa or another midirabbanan. It's some kind of a malacha midirabbanan. What exactly is the malacha midirabbanan? So there's a little thesis in Shabbos points out that there's a contradiction in Rashi. Sech Shabbos, a big mesichta, over 150 blot gemara. So Rashi in two places, 100 blot away from each other, Rashi gives two pshat, and what's wrong with mevatel kli me'echana? So one place Rashi writes, there's a malacha of bone and there's a malacha of sosir. So one place Rashi writes that it's sosir, because I had a plate or a napkin that was not mukta, and now it's like I smashed it. The sosir shalom I'm an os live nice. So it's not going to be a malacha deraisa. But it's a malacha midirabbanan. Whenever you do a malacha that's mekalkel, so the Mishnah has mekala mekalkelim turim. And the Gemara has a cloud, whenever it says potter in the Mishnayis and Shabbos at 24 brokim, and whenever it says potter means potter abalosa, but it's also midirabban. So call him a kalkulim turim, you're not allowed to break. Let's say I have, this is very common, a person drinks some soda in a paper cup, and then he's playing with the paper cup till he crumbles it, and he crushes it in his hands. So on the weekdays, that's fine. But on Shabbos, the Rama says you shouldn't do that, because that's seiser. You're breaking the cup, you're ruining the cup. So that's a malacha, even though it's mekalkel, call them mekalkel and p'turim, you shouldn't do that. So in one place Rashi writes that mevatel kli me'echanai is a malacha midirabban and a malacha of sosir, that you're breaking and you're ruining the plate or the napkin, that now it doesn't have any ishtamshes, because I made it into mukta, I made it into a basis, a davar aser. So it's mukta, has no ishtamshes, so it's like breaking it. The other place, 100 blot away, the other place Rashi writes, it's a malacha bone. It's as if chibro kan, because I caused the plate or the napkin to become mukta, and therefore, as if I attached it over here and I can no longer move it around to a different location. So that's a malacha bone. So Taisus points out that it's a discrepancy in the two Pirushim that Rashi writes. But however you slice it, Rashi learns that it's a malacha. The Gemara said there's an iser. Mavatal kli mechani, he caused something to become mukta, so that's an iser. He's not allowed to do it on Shabbos. If he did it on Erev Shabbos, you're not doing anything on Shabbos. The wax falls down. If you place it on Shabbos that it should pick up the oil that's dripping or the wax that's going to fall down, then it's an isa mevatel kli me'echana. Yeah. Then the Ramah in Sif Gimel, Reis Amachai Sif Gimel, the Ramah writes, the isa tiltel mukta only applies if you move the mukta. Strictly speaking, if you touch mukta, there's no isa. But if, let's say, there's a candle, so I'm going to touch the candle. The candle is not so thick. So if you touch a light item that's mukta, you may cause it to move a little bit by touching it. Let's say a tree. Tree is mechubas and mechubas is mukta. If you're going to touch a tree, it's not going to move. If you're going to lean on the tree, you're going to shake on the tree, so then it's going to move. But so to touch a dovish al mukta should have been mukta, but if it's a light item, then it's easily misnatnei. So then the Rama says, You shouldn't touch it either. There's a Ramah later in Hilchas Mukta where he repeats this. So then he writes over there, however, but it's a very heavy thing, like he gives a marshal. Menorahs HaGadolah Shebeis HaKnesses, that gigantic, heavy leichter in the shul, that was so heavy, you can't move it by just touching it. You have to really push it. So then the Ramah says, then there's no prohibition to touch it, because there's no chashash shema yid not made, because it's so heavy. So it's interesting, in the beginning of the Reform movement, when they first started, so they were originally, a lot of the Reform rabbis were Talmidim of the Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer took very strict positions, and they were not so strict on everything. So originally, though, they were all following Torah, they were all following Halacha. And then they floated away, till now they'll do same-sex marriages and intermarriages, and called Davar Osa. They do everything ridiculous. But originally when they introduced the organ in the synagogue, they thought that just like in the church, it beautifies the services because they have organ music. So they wanted to imitate. So that's a separate Iser. not to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to pick up in Hogim that are practiced L'Avodah Zarah, to do it in the Jewish synagogue. That's the Ramban has like that. You shouldn't say Ech Yavda Agayim Ha'im Salahim Esekein Gamani L'Sasin Kein L'Hashem Alakechem. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Samach Aleph, the whole sugi of Avodah Zarah there. So the Gemara said that pasuk tells you the din of Avodah Zarah Kedarka. You're not allowed to Ech Yavda Agayim Ha'im Salahim Esekein Gamani. You're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah Kedarka. L'Hashem shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. So the Ramban al Torah says he thinks that's a drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. He doesn't think that that's Pshuto Shal Mikra. Pshuto Shal Mikra means you'll ask around Ech Yavda Agayim Esalahayim, what are some of the nice, beautiful, meaningful minhagim that the Oyev the Avodah Zarah have, and we will adopt them in the Jewish religion, but we won't do it L'Shem Avodah Zarah. We'll do it L'Shem Shamayim. So the Torah says, L'sasen kein L'Hashem Elokechem. That's the original Chukasakim. The two different psukim on Chukasakim. Chukasem L'Yisalechu, that means you shouldn't go with long hair and torn jeans and sneakers and to dress like a Joe Kalbich, like a goy. You're not allowed to dress like a goy. But this pasuk, Ech Yavda Goy Misalehem L'Yisalechem Gamoni, is also Chukasakim. But here it's talking about Chot L'Avodah Zarah. It's a separate Issa Deraisa. You're not allowed to introduce Minhagim that the goyim have L'Avodah Zarah L'Hashamayim. That was Rav Soloveitchik's main argument was years ago. He told over the story that a Jewish religious couple moved into a city, and the only shul, why they moved into the city, the only shul in their neighborhood was a Reform synagogue where they had mixed seating. So they didn't daven in the Reform, they davened at home. So why they moved there in the first place? So the Shaila was, what are they going to do on Rosh Hashanah? So they wanted to get to whoever's going to be the Baal Tekeh in the Reform Temple. They wanted to get him to blow shofar privately for them. So he said he's not going to blow privately. He's only going to blow in the Reform Temple. In the Reform Temple, they have mixed seating. So Rav Soloveitchik said, and then he wrote a letter like that, and they used to print it every year in the Yiddish newspaper, Rav Soloveitchik's letter, that if the alternative is on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, when Tekiah Shofar is Daraisa, so either you go to the Reform Temple to listen to the Tekiahs in the context of mixed services, men and the women are sitting together, or you're going to miss out on the mitzvah Daraisa. So he said it's better to forego the Tekiah Shofar. People thought that he's making Akzera, he's making a takana in the yeshiva. He explained he's not in the habit of making Zeris. He's not making any Xeris. So he said, think about it. He said, if you don't hear Tekiah Shofar, so you missed the mitzvah. If you go to the Reform Temple and you hear Tekiah Shofar, you got the mitzvah, but you got an Avera also. You are participating in a mixed service. According to the Ramban, that's the Sistzah, Asasin Kein L'Hashem Elokecha. You shouldn't say, Ech Yavda Goyim Misalahim V'Esekein Gamoni. Why did the Reform introduce mixed seating? Because the Christians introduced mixing. Why they introduce it? Because they had the motto, the family that prays together stays together. So the Reform wanted to imitate the way the Christians are serving their Avodah Zarah. They thought it's a beautiful idea, the family that prays together stays together. So they wanted to introduce that into the Jewish religion. We should also imitate the ways of the Goyim. So that's an Iser. So you'll have the mitzvah, but you'll also have an Avera. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, common sense dictates, rather than have the mitzvah with the Avera, Hashem Bessel, not to have the Avera, not to have the mitzvah, don't do either. Stay home and don't listen to Tekiah Shofar. He didn't say it as a gzeira, as a takana. He wasn't Leichem Olchamas. He just said, Sechel dictates, you should stay home and you shouldn't have the mitzvah, you shouldn't have the Avera. So the Reform also introduced the organ in the synagogue, because just like by the Christians, the organ enhances the services because the people enjoy the music. So they thought that the organ would enhance the services in the shul as well. But you're not allowed to play an organ on Shabbos and Yom Tamashmiya called Kleshir. So they had a goy play the organ. So that originally, when the Reform movement first began, the only avera that they did was they didn't consult Rabbi Kiveger or the Chassam Sofer or Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. They didn't consult any of the people who were prominent poskim of the generation. They thought they can poskim based on Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch, some of them were Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. Others were not Istaminim, but they were all Orthodox rabbis. And the Din of Shulchan Aruch is that a Shvus, the Shvus, B'malkah Mitzvah is Mutter. Says the Shulchan Aruch that if the practice of the community is that whenever you have a Sheva Brachas, you always have music on the weekdays. So if you want to have music on Shabbos, you're permitted to have a goy play music on Shabbos as a Shvus, the Shvus, B'malkah Mitzvah. Even if a Jew will play the musical instrument, it'll only be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So if you ask a goy, that's a Shvus, the Shvus. And it's a Mokka Mitzvah, because in this community, on the weekdays, they always have, they always play music at a Sheva Brachas. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that it's Mutter. So what did Ami over here? If you want to have organ, the organ accompanying the services on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have a goy play the music, it'll be a Shvus, the Shvus, Mokka Mitzvah. So that's what they originally did like that. That was straight from the Shulchan Aruch. Shvus, the Shvus, Mokka Mitzvah. We don't follow that position even by Sheva Brachas. We once discussed it. Why? Maybe it's not a Shvus, but that's what it, the Shulchan Aruch says like that. And then years later, the Reform rabbis changed their psak, and they decided you don't even need the goy to play the organ. You can have a Jew play the organ also. Why? Because the Beis HaKnesses is known as a Mikdash Miyat. The Novi Yecheskel says Benevuah, the Beis HaMikdash will be Chorev. The Jews will be sent into Golus, they will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash where they go in Bavel. What miniature Beis HaMikdash do they have? So the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, all the shuls and all the yeshivas all over the world are referred to by the Navi as a Mikdash Miyat. So just like, so the Reform said, just like there's a din Ein Shvus BaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to observe all the Chumras Midirabbanah. If it's going to interfere with the Avodah Sakarbonis, so to a shul, Ein Shvus BaMikdash, because the shul is a Mikdash Miyat, so also Ein Shvus BaMikdash. So you don't even need the goy to play the organ, you can have a Jew play the organ. But who says, who authorized that? Who says that a Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyat, and therefore there's a din of Ein Shvus BaMikdash and a Beis HaKnesses? He said the Ramah, because the Ramah said you're not allowed to touch Muktzah. But the menorahs HaGadolah of the Beis HaKnesses are mutter. So obviously you see that the Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to be metaltal, you're allowed to handle muktzah. That's the chajok. The Ramah didn't say that. The Ramah said because menorahs HaGadolah of the Beis HaKnesses are so heavy. The Ramah in muktzah writes exactly the same thing that he writes here. In Reis HaMachai Sif Gimel. If it's a light, a dog, a cow, that easily will be misnaneya, if you'll touch it, it'll be misnanei, then you shouldn't touch it, because it'll easily move. But if it's a heavy automobile, when you touch an automobile, it's not going to move, it's not going to shake. So when you touch menorahs HaGadolah of Beis HaKnesses, they may even be nailed into the floor, so that it's not going to move easily. So that's the reason why the Ramah said that it's mutter lingor bo. He doesn't say it's mutter because Ein Shvus BaMikdash. That's what the second madura of the Reform was like that. Here, the end of Siman Reis Samachay, the end of Siman Reis Samachay, so they quote a discussion from the Gemara and the Tosis in the end of Derek Kira. That was, let's say the candles are burning and I'm afraid sparks, once in a long while, sparks are going to fly. Some of the sparks may fall on the tablecloth and it may catch fire. So if there's a real chashash, you got to be careful. So if it's sakana, okay. So let's say there's no chashash sakana, just a chashash, the tablecloth may get burnt. It may ruin the table, it may make a hole, but it's not going to catch flame. The sparks will be enough to ruin the tablecloth, but not to cause a real fire. So, is it permissible to take a bowl of water on Shabbos and to put it next to the candlestick so that when the sparks fly, they should go out in the water? So that's Gram Kipui. Like this, the spark would fall on the tablecloth and burn a little bit, and then go out. And like this, because I put a bowl of water, so that's a gram kibui. It's not kibui, a dive. If I pour the water on the candle, that's kibui. If I put it over here, and then if the sparks fall in, so that's a ground keeper. So the Gemara seems to have it, then Tosis interprets the Gemara, the very end of Perikira, the third Perik of Masechus Shabbos, you're not allowed to put a bowl of water even on Erev Shabbos. Gram Kibbutz is Muta on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to put a bowl of water on Erev Shabbos next to the candlestick, because if you'll allow it on Erev Shabbos, if someone will forget on Erev Shabbos, they'll think he's allowed to do it on Shabbos also, because he's not outright doing kibui. So we want to be mechazik this din so much, and we say not even permitted to put water on Erev Shabbos. So the Balei Tosfos had a shaila. Many of them used to light Erev Shabbos with oil, with a wick. And when the oil is all used up, all the oil is absorbed in the wick and it's consumed, so then the wick is gonna cause smoke, a little smoke, and it'll have a bad smell. So some of them used to put water in the container. The oil is going to float to the top and the water is going to be on the bottom. So when the wick comes to the, when all of the oil is consumed, all the oil will be absorbed in the wick and it will all be used up. And then the wick will come to, after 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever, the wick is burning to the bottom, and then it's going to bump into the water, all the oil will be already gone. They're going to bump into the water, so the water will extinguish the flame. So it won't smell. So it won't smell up the room with the smoke. So some of the Rishonim said, you're not allowed to do that. Just like you're not allowed to put a bowl of water next to the candlestick, even on Erev Shabbos. That's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. It's a gzeirah. Not allowed to put a bowl of water on Erev Shabbos, lest someone would make a mistake and think you're allowed to do it even on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's Gram Kibui. So some said you're not allowed to put water in the container that has the oil. You're not allowed to put water, because also it's going to extinguish the flame when it comes to the bottom. Another Balei HaTosfos said it's mutter, because the intention of the Balabastan putting the water is really not so much to extinguish the flame of the wick when it comes to the bottom. It's really to elevate, to have the fire higher. You're not going to have so much oil. You're going to go to sleep. You're not going to stay up all night. You only need the candle. You only need the nair is burning till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever. Whatever time you plan to go to sleep. So you're only going to put in so much oil that you need while people are going to be awake. So the oil is going to be on the bottom of the container. So they used to put in half of the container with water, and half of it, and the oil would float to the top. So the flame would be higher up. So the intention of the balabasta put in the water was not really so much to extinguish the flame when it comes to the bottom, but rather to have the flame higher up, another inch and a half. Higher, it'll be the top of the container rather than the bottom of the container. But what if you put candles in? You didn't put in oil with a wick, you have candles. So when you put in 2 drops of water, that's clearly only for the purpose of extinguishing the fire on the wick when it comes to the bottom. It's not to make the candles higher. The candles are not going to be higher because you're putting 2 drops of water. When you fill in half, when you fill in an inch and a half of water and an inch and a half of oil, so then you say the balabasta maybe had 2 intentions. One intention was to make the flame higher up, an inch and a half higher. And the other intention was, a secondary intention is to put out the flame also. But since the main intention was to make the fire higher, so we say it's mutter. They didn't even do gram kibui over here. But if you have wax candles and you put water below the, on the in between the container, the holder, and the candle, so that's solely for the purpose of extinguishing the flame. So that you're not allowed to do. So some Shulchan Aruch, they quote there's room to be discussion. Maybe there's room. There's a tzad l'hakal on this also. So they have this discussion. Okay. So that's interesting. Many people have such a practice. They put in water when they light with the wax candle, so they put in a few drops of water so that when the wick comes to the end, it shouldn't smoke up the room. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. There's room to be Mekel, but many thought that it should be also. Here in Rei Samach Vav, they discuss Misha Echshach Lo Badach, that's the very end of Masech Shabbos. A person is walking and he has thousands of dollars in his pocket, he's traveling on the highway, and then it becomes Leil Shabbos. So what's he going to do? What's he going to do? He can't leave the money. What? So if you're in the middle of the city, I remember when my first, we have nine children, so I remember when my first baby was born, my wife was in the hospital on Erev Shabbos. And the doctor said, the baby is going to be born tonight. It's not going to be born. We came Friday about noontime. And the doctor said, the baby is going to be born tonight. It's going to take a few hours. But she doesn't pay to go home and then come back because she's going to have to come before midnight anyway. So they're going to charge her for the whole day. So she may as well stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So she stayed. So I went with her. There was another balabos from Washington Heights. His wife had a baby boy on Friday afternoon. So we were going together, and he was a diamond merchant. So he had a lot of money in his pocket. I had nothing. I was a Shiva Bacha. He was a diamond merchant. He had a lot of money, and he had a loop in his pocket. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of stuff. So we went into a store, mm-hmm. and a liquor shop. And he started to explain that he's an Orthodox Jew, and it's going to be the Sabbath, and he wants to leave the money here. So the owner of the liquor shop says, Shabbos dike geld. He screams out, Shabbos dike geld. So he takes all the money and he puts it away. We came back on Matzoy Shabbos, he gave him all the money. And then he bought, the other one had a baby boy, so he was going to have a bris. So he bought a few bottles of schnapps. So the storekeeper gave him anoche on the schnapps because he was a Shem Shabbos, because the balabos, a Shem Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Storekeeper was open, unfortunately, on Shabbos. And then as we were walking to the place where we were going to eat, near the vicinity of the hospital, it wasn't at all here, it was on the Lower East Side, so the place we were going to eat. So he realized that he was carrying the loop in his pocket. So he had to get rid of it. It's Ben Hashma, so you can't. So he put it on the floor, and he kicked some dirt from the floor. He kicked with his foot the dust on the floor, his mukta, but he kicked it with his foot. We assume tilta mukta is only also the adayim. Tilta mukta with the foot is mutta. And then he kicked it on the side where the curb is in the street. He came after Shabbos, it was there. The loop is still there. Nobody took it. It was covered with all the dust, with all the dirt of New York City. So there's a whole simon here. There's a whole perek mishach shalchah baderech. What do you do? So if there's an akum, so there's a kula. If he has so much money there, a fortune of money, we're afraid. If we won't allow a mivali akum, so the fellow may be mechal Shabbos himself because he has so much money. Not some $10. He has a fortune of money there. So they give you kula, special kulas, and you have no beer. So the shayla is, what about to ask a cotton? So the Gemara talks about ask a cotton. What if it's my cotton? What if it's my child who's a cotton? So that says in the Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't ask your own child. It should be someone else's child who's a cotton. You shouldn't ask your own child, because that says in Aseres HaDibros, L'asaska malacha ato odincha v'itecha. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Rashi on Parshas Yisro, and Aseres HaDibros quotes from the Tanoim and the Mechilta. It says, ato odincha v'itecha. Who is bincha v'itecha? If they're already bar mitzvah, so they're included in Atta. Atta does normally refer to the people, the adults who were standing at Har Sinai, and the children weren't born yet. No. Atta refers to all the adults today. Anyone who's bar mitzvah today is included in Atta. So if Bincha Bitecha bar mitzvah already, so they're Atta. So Bincha Bitecha must be that it's a cotton. It's a cotton. And even if it's a cotton, Shalohi Gia Lechinuch, still, You're not allowed to ask, let's say, a two-year-old baby. You're not allowed to encourage the baby to turn off the lights or to turn on the lights on Shabbos. That's a pasuk in Aseres HaDibros, L'asaska gamalacha, ato avincha v'itecha. In Europe, there was a common practice, more so by the Hasidim than by the Misnagdim, that if there would be a city where there was no Erev, so it would have the children carry the talis to shul. And the Misnagdim were very upset about this. They were very opposed. That's why the Mishkan is Yankiv had learned in Balozhin, and he was a Misnagdim. He was the rabbi in Karlin. When they were Karlina, they were stolen and Hasidim. So quite a few of his tshuvas had to attack practices that were common by the Karlina Hasidim. So this is one of them. He has a whole tshuva that Amira Lekotin, that the father is going to ask his son to carry his talis to shul, that's a violation of the pasuk and aseres hadibur, that you're not allowed to do. That's not proper. So that's in Reish Samavov. Yeah, Reish Samav Zayin is based on the Gemara. Yeah, this Reish Samavov doesn't come up so often. How often does it happen that a person is carrying a lot of money on Erev Shabbos, then he gets stuck paying Hashmashas? So he should figure it out in advance. What are you going to do if it becomes Shabbos? So you have to figure it out. Reish Samav Zayin is about davening early. So the Gemara says in Brachas on Daf Chavav on the base, the Rav told Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav had the practice of davening Ma'ariv Shal Shabbos before the Shkia, after Plag HaMincha, before the Shkia. What is that all about? So the Gemara explains that in the Mishnah in Brachas there's a beginning at Tfilas HaShachar, there's a Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Nachachomim, what is the Sof Zman Mincha and when is the Tchilas Zman Ma'ariv. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to finish davening Mincha by Plag HaMincha. There's a Mincha Gdola, Mincha Ktana. So Mincha Gdola means a half an hour after Chatzos. The earliest time you can daven Mincha is a half an hour after Chatzos. There's a Machlokes where the half an hour means 30 minutes all year long, half an hour is 30 minutes. Or means shows manias. However, sometimes the shows manias is more than 60 minutes, sometimes it's less than 60 minutes, not always 60 minutes. So many assume that it's half an hour means shows manias, and the others say no. If the whole reason for the half an hour is because people may make a mistake, it's a gzera de rabbana on the half an hour, so then it should always be 30 minutes. So we always go the chumra on that. So if chatzois, you always have to go to Chumra. If 30 minutes is longer, if shows manias are less than 60 minutes, you should wait 30 minutes. If shows manias are, you always go to Chumra in a half hour. So that's called Mincha Gedol. And then Mincha Ktana in Shulchan Aruch says, L'chatchil, it's not proper to daven Mincha Gedol. That's only if you have a big Shas Hadchak. The common practice in the Litvish yeshivas, they made a common practice out of it that they always daven Mincha Gdola every day because they wanted to have a morning Seder and they wanted to have a solid afternoon Seder. They want to learn 4 or 5 hours in a row. So if they're going to daven Mincha right before the Shkia, Ma'ariv right after the Shkia, so it's going to interfere with the Seder. So they want to get Mincha out of the way. So that's why they were always daven Mincha after Mincha Gdola, and then they would be able to learn all 4 or 5 hours solid in the afternoon. But before the Litvish yeshivas introduced this practice, we always assumed that it's only permissible on Erev Pesach. Because on Erev Pesach, they always brought the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim earlier, because you have to bring the Korban Pesach after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. There were millions of people. There were millions of people came to participate in Korban Pesach. So they had a shechtet, so you had to have as much time as possible to do the Hakrovas Korbanos Pesach. You had three different shifts. Pesach Nishchat Begimel Kippur. So on Erev Pesach, because they used to bring the Tomet Shel Ben Arbaim earlier, because the practice was they brought the Tomet Shel Ben Arbaim earlier, so it says on Erev Pesach, you're allowed to daven Mincha Gdolah. But the rest of the year, it says it's more correct is that you should really daven later. Mincha Ktana. When is Mincha Ktana? So Mincha Ktana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. So we usually follow the Vilna Gaon that before the end of the day means before Shkia. That's about the two opinions in the Magen Avraham is in Reish Lamed Gimel. Reish Lamed Gimel is by Hilchas Mincha are. So the Magen Avraham has the two opinions when you're calculating Sof Zman Kriya Shema, is Gimel Shoaz Bayom, so it's Manfil is Dalet Shoaz Bayom, and you're calculating Mincha Ktana and Plaga Mincha, do you calculate the days when you calculate Shoaz Manis, that's from sunrise to sunset, or from Alois HaShachar till Tzeisa Kohan. So now it's in our group, we usually, by the Hasidim, they still go with the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham thinks more correct is from Alois HaShachar till Tzeisa Kohan. And our kind of people, usually follow the Vilna Gaon, that you calculate the shows manios and all of these shows hayayim from the sunrise to the sunset. So when is Mincha Ketana? Mincha Ketana is 2.5 hours before the end of the day. So the Chatchila, it says, more correct is you should wait except for Erev Pesach. More correct is you shouldn't have a Mincha until after Mincha Ketana, the last 2.5 hours of the day. Then Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you can only daven mincha up until plaga mincha. Plaga mincha half. So 2.5 hours before the end of the day is mincha ketana. So you divide that in half. So that's only 1.25 hours. So if you're not going to daven mincha till mincha ketana, and you only have till plaga mincha, so you only have a window of opportunity of 1.25 hours. You have to daven mincha within that 1.25 hours. L'chatchil, you shouldn't da mincha before mincha ketana, l'chatchila. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you only have 1.25 hours. Because after plaga mincha, that's already sovzman tfilas mincha. And it's already, that's the beginning of the zman of ma'arev. You can already da ma'arev after plaga mincha. So the Gemara says, regarding this machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, we really should have said, yachad v'rabim halachi k'rabim. We should have ignored Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Gemara holds no, that even though it's a Yochid Verabim, it was a Mistaba Taimed of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says everything should be based on this Zman Tfila, should be patterned after this Zman Akrobas HaKarbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So they never brought the Tamashal Ben Abayim so late, in the last 1.25 hours of the day. It was always brought before Plaga Mincha. So more correct would have really been that's the Sovzman Mincha should have really been, you should finish Davin Mincha before the last 1.25 hours of the day. But it's the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, the Ovid Kemar Ovid, the Ovid Kemar Ovid. There's no Hachra over here. There's no Hachra. So we say, Sveika de Rabbanan Lekula. Usually it's not a Sveika de Rabbanan. If you have Yochid V'Rabim, Yochid V'Rabim Aloche K'Rabim, it's not a Sveika. It's a vadai, but over here, because apparently Mistaba time of the Rabbi Yehuda, so they considered it like Sveika de Dina. So David Kamar, David Kamar, if you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, it's okay. Want to follow the Rabbanan, it's okay. So we usually assume that you have a right to make up your mind for the rest of your life. Do you want to do like Rabbi Yehuda? Always the daven mincha, finish mincha before plaga mincha, and then always the daven marav after plaga mincha. Not every other day you're going to do like this every other Shabbos is going to do like this, and every other Shabbos is going to do the other way. Or the weekday is going to do one way, and Shabbos is going to do another way. It means, David Kamar Ravid, all of your lifetime, if you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, shouldn't do a type of disaster. So here the Rishonim say, we'll make a little bit, but even though all year long we daven mincha late, up until Lishkiya, but for the purpose of to be Moisim Michal Al HaKadosh, so we'll make a. And we say, you should try not to have a tart to the sasa minei bay in the same day. If you want to daven ma'arev after plaga mincha, so you should daven mincha before the plaga mincha. And then for the sake of Kabbalah to Sefer Shabbos, we make on a tart to the sasa from one day to the other. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Oilos Tomid. What if the only minion in town, on a weekday, the only minion in town davens tart to the sasa? The davening mincha after plag and marid before the shkia. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a sefer Oilos Tamid. They quote every other page. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Ayin Tov and the Oilos Tamid. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Oilos Tamid that if the davening mincha after the plag and marid before the shkia, so mamish tak to the sasri, but the alternative is you're going to daven mechidas. So he says, Shem Besa to daven Tvila B'tzibur, even though it's going to be a tie to the Sasri, rather than to daven only one with the Tzibur, to daven the other one B'yechidis. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on this topic, a Masach Nishvissendik. He doesn't say that the Mishnah Berurah quotes an Oilos Tomid. He raises the question, what if there's only one minion in town? Should you daven with the minion that tied to the Sasri? Mincha after the plag and mari before the shkia should you daven mechidus? So he says the mile of tefillah b'tzibur only makes sense if you're davening properly, but if they're davening tied to the sasri, it's better to daven mechidus. I thought like Rav Moshe. I thought also like Rav Moshe, not like, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Oilos Tamid, says not so. So that's a question what you have to do. So there are many communities where they daven in the summertime, when they want to daven Ma'ariv early on the Erev Shabbos. So in a lot of communities, they daven Tarta Desasri. They daven Mincha after the Plaga Mincha and Ma'ariv before the Shkia. So apparently this was a common practice in Europe. Okay. But more correct is at least that day shouldn't be, that day itself shouldn't be a Tarta Desasri. Yeah. Yeah, when you daven Ma'ariv early, let's say, David Kemarov, David Kemarov. So Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chacham and holds that the Zman Mincha is over a Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter before the end of the day, for the Shkia, then is the Zman for davening Ma'ariv. That's the time to daven Shmona Esrei of Ma'ariv. What about Kriya Shema with the Brachas also? You can say Kriya Shema also. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything about Kriya Shema. So that's the first Taisus in Brachas, raises Rashi and Tais, Rashi and Tais on the opening Mishnah, raise the question. The Mishnah says the earliest time to be Yotze Kriya Shema Shal Arvis is at Tzeis HaKochavim. So Rashi and Taisus ask a question, but the common practice in France and Germany by Rashi and the Balei HaTaisus was that they daven Ma'ariv right after the Shkia, way before Tzeis HaKochavim. They didn't wait for Tzeis HaKochavim. So it's against the Mishnah. So Rashi says, Enochinami, we say Kriya Shema Lamita. We're really Yotze with Kriya Shema Lamita. And Taisus says, what do you mean Kriya Shema Lamita? It's only Parsha Rishayna. You don't say all the Gimel Parshias. So Taisus says, either we follow Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, David Kemar Rabbi, David Kemar Rabbi. So we daven Mincha after the Plaga Mincha. But then we daven Ma'ariv right after the Shkia. We daven Mincha after Plaga Mincha. That's against Rabbi Yehuda. But then we're going to daven Ma'ariv with Kriya Shema right after the Shkia. So that's like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says you can daven Ma'ariv, you can daven Ma'ariv after Plag, and it's understood you can say Kriya Shema also after the Plag. So the Rosh raises the issue on Tosfos Verzot. Who says the Rabbi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can say Kriya Shema with the Brochas after Plag? And Rabbi Yehuda just said you can daven Shema Esrei Ma'ariv. He didn't say a word about Kriya Shema with the Brochas. But that's what Taisus says. So the common practice is like the Taisus, that in the summertime when the shuls want to daven Kabbalah Shabbos early, so some shuls they'll avoid the tie to the Sasa, some they won't. More proper is they should avoid, they should daven Mincha before the Plag, and then you're going to daven Ma'ariv after the Plag on Mincha. So what are they going to daven? They're just going to say Shmona Esrei. No, they say Kriya Shema with the Brocha. So that's relying on this and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosfos. And the Rosh is not happy with that. The two opinions are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. When you make a David Kemarav, that you can daven Ma'ariv early, does that mean you can only daven Ma'ariv Shmonesei, but you can't be Yotze Kriya Shema? We could even be Yotze Kriya Shema. So the two opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. I remember when I was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, so Rabbi Gerelik mentioned that the minig in the B'nai Yeshiva in Europe was when they had a daven by the Balabatim, and the Balabatim would daven Ma'ariv early before the Tzeis HaKochavim. So the minig was like the Ramor sort of recommends, that they would only say Shmona Esrei with the Balabatim, and they would wait to say Kriya Shema with the Brochas later, because of this taina that the Rosh has. Where do you see the Rabbi Yehuda's Mako that you can say Kriya Shema with the Brochas after Plag HaMincha? It's not yet B'shach Becha. Who's going to sleep? The sun is still shining. Have another hour and a quarter before the Shkia. How can you say it's the Zman of a Kriya Shema Shalai? There's not B'shach Becha yet. So that's a question. So let's say the following situation. There are two in the summertime. There are two minyanim in the shul on Friday afternoon. There's an early minyan where they daven Mincha before the Plag and Ma'ariv after. Then there's a later minyan when they daven Mincha right before the Shkia and Ma'ariv after the Shkia. So the person wants to be Machmer, so he davens Mincha with the first minyan before Plag and Mincha, and then he says Kabbalah Shabbos, and then they say Baruch Hu, and then after Baruch Hu he goes home. He doesn't want to be Mekel to say Kriya Shema with the Brochas after Plag and Mincha, because the Rosh was Ma'arer, that who says that according to Rabbi Yehuda that's legitimate. So he wants to go home and he's going to say Kiddush and eat the meal. And then by the time he's going to bench, he doesn't have not such a long meal. By the time he's going to bench, he'll come back to Shul and Dav Ma'ariv with the second minyan. It'll already be after Tzeis HaKochavim. Is that acceptable? So the Magen Avraham said, that's fine. Let him be Mekabel Shabbos, let him daven Mincha before the plug. And let him be Mekabel Shabbos after the plug. He'll say Kabbalah Shabbos, he'll say, we spoke last week, the different opinions, when is Kabbalah Shabbos and Shul? Either when you say Baruch, when you say Mizmah Shul Yom HaShabbos, and when you say Boi V'Shalom, Ater is Bala, Boi Chala, he was Mekabel Shabbos. Then he'll answer Baruch, but then he'll leave the Shul. He'll go home and make Kiddush, and eat, and bench, and then he'll come back to Dan Mar with the segment. So the Magen Avraham says, that's okay. That's okay. So the Maaseh Rav is a little safer that has the Hanogas of the Vilna Gaon. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon that he disagreed with that Magen Avraham. He said, the Gemara says, Mispalal Adam Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav Tzodeh Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav would sometimes daven Ma'ariv early on Erev Shabbos to be Moshe Mechol HaKadosh with daven Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. So the Gemara has a Shaila. If the person daven Ma'ariv early, did he say Kiddush also? Or do you have to wait to say Kiddush till after Laila? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Rav Tzodeh Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, and he said Kiddush. And so you see, you're allowed to say Kiddush also. You say Kiddush, and Kiddush Olam HaMakom Sudas, you have to start the meal. Can you finish eating the whole meal also? You can finish the whole meal while the sun is still shining. And can you be Yotzi the Sudas Shabbos Bizman Tosefes Shabbos? So the Taz over here, quotes two opinions in Tosfos in the beginning of Ariyat Pesach. Tosfos says that on Leil Pesach, you can't, if you'll be Mekabel Yom Tov early, that said, the fellow wants to be Moshe Mechol Al HaKadosh on Erev Pesach, and he wants to eat the Korban Pesach while the sun is still shining. He wants to have the whole Arba Kosis, the whole Seder, Mibol Yom, after Plaga Mincha. So Tosfos says he can't do that, because the Pesach says, Ba'erev Toch LaMatzis, Vochos HaBasa Ba'Layla HaZeh. So the Matzah and the Arba Kosis, and the Morah, and the Korban Pesach, everything has to be Ba'Layla. You can't be Yotzei during this Man of Tosefis. What about a regular Shabbos? So Tosfos has two opinions. So one opinion of Tosfos is that just like Leil Pesach, you can't be Yotzei, the special, you can be Yotzei Kiddush during this Man of Tosefis on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And in Kiddush Olam HaMakom Sudas, you have to start eating the meal right after the Kiddush. But then if you're going to eat the whole meal and you're going to bench, then you're not Yotzei the meal during this Man of Tosefis. You have to save some amount of challah to eat when it's going to be after Tzeisat Kochav, how much do you have to save? So that's three different opinions in the post. So some poskim say you have to save a kazayas of challah, some poskim have to say you have to save a kedetza, and some say no, based on the Gemara Sukkah, you have to have yosem kedetza. Up until and including a kedetza is called achilas haroi. Up until and including a kedetza of lechem, of pas, is called achilas haroi. The Mishnah says, All the 7 days, Mishnah's in Eretz Yisrael, so the 7 days of Sukkot. So it says in the Mishnah that Kol Shiva Se'ayamim, he has to eat Achilas Keva in the Sukkah. Achilas Aroi, you're allowed to eat Chutz L'Sukkah. So Gemara says, Kama, how much is called Achilas Aroi? So Gemara has different opinions. Gemara finally says, up until and including a kabetza of bread, is called Achilas Aroi. But if you're going to have Yosem Mekibetza, that's already called Achilas Kev. So that's what some Achrayim say you have to eat. The Loshon HaGemara is that on Leil Shabbos, even if you're not hungry, you should eat a Kazayas. So it sounds like a Kazayas of Challah is enough. So the Achrayim asked that. How can there be three opinions? Rabbi Yitzchonin has a tshuva about that. How can there be three opinions? How much Challah you have to eat on Leil Shabbos? The Gemara said the Ferish Kazayas. Rabbi Yitzchonin has a tshuva in Chelek Aven Ezra, where he works on this. It's a Derech Agav in a different tshuva. He works on this kash. So one opinion is you have to have a kazayas of bread. Mishnah Berurah says a kibetza. And others say, no, it has to be yosem mikibetza. A kibetza is still called achilas haroi. And Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yom Tov, you want that it should be called an achilas keva. They should really have a yosem mikibetza. So that's what the Taz recommends. There are two opinions in Tosfos in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. Tosfos assumes a davar pashut that you can't be yotzei Korban Pesach and Matzah and Morah and Abikos, you can't be yotzei during this man of Tosefis. All the mitzvahs halayla have to be after Tzeis HaKochavim. That's why we say you don't even begin Kiddush on Pesach night to left the Tzeisach Kohanim, because the first kois of Kiddush is one of the Arba Kaises. So all the mitzvahs are lila have to be after Tzeisach Kohanim. But any other Shabbos Yontem, it's okay, you can make Kiddush early. Make Kiddush early, you have to have Kiddush Makom Suda, so you have to start the Suda. So can you finish the Suda? You can eat the whole Suda Midbar Yom and bench and say Bitzei and that's it. And then you go take a walk when the sun is still shining, and you were Yotze the Suda Shabbos during this man of Tosefis. What do you say? No, Tosefis is only Benigir to Malocha. Tosefis is only that you shouldn't Shvisim in Malocha, and Shvisim in Malocha is connected with Kiddush. It's like Kiddush is the Bichas HaMitzvah and Shvisim in Malocha. But other mitzvahs you can't fulfill during this man of Tosefis. So because of these 2 days in Tosefis, so the Taz recommends, if you start a Shabbos early, and you say Kiddush when the sun is still shining, and then Kiddush on the Makom Suda, you started the meal, but you have to save some amount of challah, either kezayis kebetza or yesem kebetza, to eat at the end of the meal, after Tzeisach Kohanim. Okay. So here, so the Vilna Gaon says, the Loshon HaGemara was, Rav Tzodesh al Shabbos, Berev Shabbos, can you say Kiddush also? So the Gemara says, yes. You can daven Ma'ariv, you can daven Rav Tzodesh al Shabbos, Berev Shabbos, and he says Kiddush also. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as arguing against the Magen Avraham. He said, Magen Avraham said, I can daven Mincha at the first minyan and say Kabbalah Shabbos with them, and then when they say Baruch Hu, I'll answer Baruch and I'll go home, and I'll make Kiddush, and I'll eat, and I'll come back, and I'll daven Ma'ariv with the second minyan. So the Bir Agro says no. The Gemara says only Rav Tzodesh al Shabbos Berev Shabbos. If you daven Ma'ariv already, if you're Moisa Mechol al Hakodesh with Ma'ariv, then you can say Kiddush. But if you didn't daven Ma'ariv yet, if it wasn't Rav Tzodesh al Shabbos Berev Shabbos, then you can't make Kiddush. You can only make Kiddush if you already daven Ma'ariv. Why? I mean, that's the Loshon HaGemara, but what's the logic involved? Why do you say that to be able to make Kiddush Mabod Yom and start the meal, and the Yotz of the meal is only if you already said Kiddush? Why should that be so? So Rav Soloveitchik once explained in a Yotzite Rasha as follows. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim. How do you deal with an apparent contradiction between the two psukim? How does one celebrate Yontif? One pasuk describes Yontif, Atzeres Tia Lochem. You should eat and drink and be merry, Lochem. The other pasuk says, Atzeres Lashem Alakecha. You should dedicate the day to davening and to learning. So which is it? So you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim says, and there is no Kosov HaShlishi, Sheachriya Beneim. So what's the klal? A midrash turned to dreshes ben. So you have snakes in the matchish mezeh, at shiava kosav ashlishi v'achriya b'neim. That's one of the midrash turned to dreshes ben. So what do you do when you have snakes suvim and there is no kosav ashlishi shiachriya? Rabbi Yosef Engel has this in one of his swans. So he said it's a machlekes satanoi, because the Gemara in Maseches Brachos also has like that. Snakes suvim matchish mezeh. On the one hand, one pasuk says v'hagisu.
Yeah.
pasuk says, "Atzeres Hashem Elokecha." One pasuk says, "Atzeres Tielachem." So which is it? So the Reb Lezer is of the opinion, either A or B. You have to choose. So if you want, you can eat and drink and be merry all day and all night. You have to daven a little bit. You have to learn a little bit. But you should choose either A or B. Either choose to eat and drink a lot and only be yotze a little bit of davening, or to eat, or to be madif, or you have to eat a little bit and then dedicate the whole day to Torah tefillah. And we don't pasken like Rabbi Lezer, we pasken like Rabbi Yeshua. Just like over there, we say harik ba'aminik derech eretz, and the stira between agisa yamav aloyle lesaf to din anecha. So we say you have to make your own hachra, blend in the two together. So here we say also, Chet Shel Hashem and Chet Shel Achem. That's exactly what it means. Even though there is no Kosav HaShlishi, Shachriya Ben Ayim, you have to make a compromise and blend the two in together. So the Rambam quotes that din, Chet Shel Hashem and Chet Shel Achem. And he writes both by Yom Tov and by Shabbos. He repeats it both. He writes, and the system is like this. You go to Shul and you daven Ma'ariv. Then you go home and you eat. Then you daven Shachriyas and Musaf. Then you eat. Then you daven mincha, and then you eat shalashudas. So the Rambam says, each step of the way has to be chetzel Hashem and chetzel Hashem, chetzel Hashem and chetzel Hashem, chetzel Hashem and chetzel Hashem. Leil Shabbos, first Hashem, and then Lachem. First you daven Ma'ariv, then you eat. Shabbos in the morning, first you daven, then you eat the Suda, the morning Suda, and then mincha, first you daven mincha, and then you eat shalashudas after mincha. That's how the Rambam reads. So from the Rambam is mashmak peida. Like the Vilna Gaon said, you can't go home and make Kiddush. You said Mincha before Plag, then you're going to daven, then you're going to daven Kabbalah Shabbos, then you're going to leave. When they're up to Birchas Kriya Shema, you want to be Choshesh for the Rosh. That Rabbi Yehuda never said Plag HaMincha is good for Kriya Shema. He only said Plag HaMincha is good for Shemana Esrei. So I don't want to daven at the first minyan. So I'm going to leave. And they say, Baruch Hu, I'll answer, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hu, I'll go home and I'll say Kiddush and eat the meal. Then I'll come back and daven Ma'ariv by the second minyan. So the Vilna Gaon says it's not right. Why? What's not right? Why? You have to davke have keseder hazeh. First to have Ma'ariv and then to make Kiddush and have the Suda. So the answer is yes. The Rambam says that it has to be kachu al das. The system has to be like this. First you do Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Hashem, and then you do Chetzel Hashem. First you daven Ma'ariv, and then you eat the meal. Then you daven Shachris and Musaf, then you eat the meal. Then you daven Mincha, then you have Shalosh Shudas. That's why many are makbid, davke, to have Shalosh Shudas after Mincha. Not to have, even when you have a long day, a long Shabbos, many are makbid to have Shalosh Shudas, davke after Mincha, because of that Rambam, Kachu Hados. This is the way you have to organize it. Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Hashem. So that's the disagreement of the Vilna Gaon with the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says it's okay if you daven, if you makabel Shabbos early and you say Kiddush and you eat, and then you go to daven Ma'ariv and Shul later, that's not a problem. And according to the Vilna Gaon, that would be a problem.
Rav Schechter, I have a question. So I understand why on Pesach and Sukkot you can't finish the meal completely before Shkia because you have various mitzvahs that depend on Laila. Whether it's Korban Pesach or Super Yetzias Mitzrayim or Sukkah, but why on Shabbos? So what about Shabbos? On Shabbos, you also can't finish the meal completely before Shkia. There are no mitzvahs other than
Suda Shabbos. So those are the two opinions in Taisus. Should I say just like on Pesach, he can't be Yotze Korban Pesach HaMatzah doing this man of Tosefis? You have to wait till Laila. So maybe Suda Shabbos also, you cannot be Yotze Suda Shabbos doing this man of Tosefis. Maybe Tosefis is only for Malacha and for Kiddush. Kiddush is like the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Yisa Malacha. Or should I say no? Once you're Moshe Mechol HaKadosh, you can fulfill all the mitzvahs during this man of Tosefis, except for Matzah in Korban Pesach, because it says, V'ochel Sabasa Balayla Hazeh, or Ba'erev Tochel Matzah. So if it's a din of Laila, so it doesn't help that you're Moshe Mechol HaKadosh. Right, so that's two days in Taisus. So the Taz is the one who recommends that even if one is eating, even if one make kiddush mebod yom before the shkia, and he has to eat right away, and kiddush al makom sudas, he has to start, but he should save a little bit, even the kazayis and kebetsa yosim and kebetsa pas, he should save it to eat at the end of the meal after tzeis kol chavim. Right? That's the Taz's recommendation because of the two opinions in Taisus. Nachon.
Rebbe, does the Magen Avraham require the man to stop eating 30 minutes before Maariv?
If it's Hischa Beheter, he started Beheter, so he doesn't have to stop. He doesn't have to stop. Let's say a person davened by the early minyan. A person davened Maariv, they have the early minyan, davened by the Maariv by the early minyan. He's going to say Kriyat Shema all the three parshiyos later. And then by the time he comes home, it's already within a half an hour before Tzeis HaKol Chavim. So it's within a half an hour before the Zman of Kriya Shema. And he plans to say over Kriya Shema. So would you say he's not allowed to eat? So it says in the Beis Yosef writes this. The Beis Yosef says, and Shulchan Aruch says, you can rely, even though you're going to be machmed to repeat Kriya Shema, but since there is an opinion, you said Kriya Shema with the brachas already early, and Taisus says that's acceptable. So you want to be machma like the Rosh, that Rabbi Yehuda never said you can be yotzei Kriya Shema during this man after plaga mincha. But you daven, you did say Kriya Shema at that time. So since the whole prohibition of eating before Kriya Shema is only the Rabbanon, so it's at least a sveka the Rabbanon l'kuli. You can rely on the Shita's Balei HaTaisus that you were yotzei Kriya Shema. When you said Kriya Shema after plag, you can rely on that shita with respect to the din de rabbanon of not eating before Kriya Shema. But let's say a person is going to daven by the first minyan, and he's going to be machmer only to say the Shemana Esri. He's not going to say Kriya Shema with the brachas. Then he comes home. Then he's going to come home. It's going to be within it. It'll often be within a half an hour of Tzeis HaKol Chavim. So then, and he didn't say Kriya Shema. So that has nothing to rely on. So it didn't gain too much. So he has to wait till after Tzeis HaKol Chavim to say the Kriya Shema. The whole idea of davening early in the summertime is that you shouldn't have to wait so late. But if he's going to come home within a half an hour before Kriya Shema, before Tzeis HaKol Chavim, so if he relied on the Taisus to say Kriya Shema with the brachas earlier, so then Rabbi Yosef Kara writes a chiddush and the Beis Yosef, you can rely on those who shine him with respect to this din de rabbanan. That usually you're not allowed to eat before Kriya Shema. Here I say, I was yotzei Kriya Shema already, I'm sure. When I get to the din, the rice of Kriya Shema, I say, I'm going to repeat the Kriya Shema later because of the Rosh's taina. But when I get to the din, the rabbanon, not to eat before Kriya Shema, you have a right to assume that you were yet. But if the guy's machmer, he's not going to say Kriya Shema with the brachas. Then when he comes home, he's not supposed to eat before he says Kriya Shema. So some poskim say, if you appoint the shomer, then you can, what do you do all year long? So a lot of times people will eat supper before they say Kriya Shema. So you appoint someone as a shomer. So let's say if someone davened Maariv and Shul, but he didn't say Kriya Shema with the brachas, and he asked all the people at the table, please remind me later, and he tells them what time. Remind me at Tzeis HaKol Chavim, I have to say Kriya Shema with the brachas. So some are mekel, if you appoint the shomer, some are mekel. Others are not happy. The Be'er Sheva is not happy with that. If you appoint the Shema, he says, Avrach Abba boy, who said the Shema may forget? The Shema may forget to remind you. So who says that the Shema is going to remember to remind you to say Kriya Shema? That's a question all year long. Is it permissible to eat before Kriya Shema, before Maariv, if you appoint the Shema who's going to remind you?
Rabbi, would the same thing in reply? Yantif Sheni, if you hold by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Minhag to daven early on Yantif Sheni.
What again?
If you daven Maariv early on Yantif Sheni, would the same inyan apply?
The same inyan? What do you mean the same inyan?
It's not Yantif Sheni, right? And waiting and eating a kebaya or more than a kebaya after it says it's based on, since you're davening Maariv early. Some Ashkenazim who daven Maariv early on Yantif Sheni.
Okay, no.
Is that similar to the Tosefta Shabbos when you're doing everything earlier?
If they daven, let's say it's klag.
Same thing. Same issue. Everything exactly the same. Yeah. The Prima Gadim writes, the Prima Gadim was a Galatiana, but he had a position, a chinuch in Germany, in Frankfurt. Not Frankfurt on the Oder, the other Frankfurt on the Main. Frankfurt on the Oder, I think, not on the Main River. So he writes a lot of Yekesh and Minogim. So he writes, the minig in Germany was that on every Yontem Sheni, they didn't say Baruch to left the Nacht, to left and say Sokochavim, because they're afraid if the wives will know the husband is going to come home early, they may start cooking on Yontem Rishon for Yontem Sheni, and you're not allowed to. So they had such a minig, you don't begin to daven Ma'ariv on Yontem Sheni to left and say Sokochavim. But the rest of the world, they never had such a minig. They never had such a minig. So you can daven early. You can daven early. Yeah. Here at the end of Siman Reis Samach Zayin, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Gimel that our practice is all week long when we say Hashkiveinu, we end off Shemot Zayin when Al Chaim Shalom Me'atav Ad Olam Shem Ami Yisrael Ohad Ve'esk HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shmira. And on Leil Shabbos and Yom Tov, instead of saying Shem Ami Yisrael Ohad, they say Pros Lehem Sukash Lehmecha Parisi Kushon Malenu Kalam Yisrael Ba'al Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim, what if by mistake on Leil Shabbos he said Shem Ami Yisrael Ohad? He didn't say Pros Lehem So, b'di'evid yoyotze. This is l'chatchila. And the same thing in the reverse order. What if by mistake the person in the middle of the week, instead of saying Shamar Misol Ohad, he said Parisuk Hashalom, Aleinu Kalam Yisrael? So the Emek Brocha gives a whole explanation. Also, b'di'evid you would be yoyotze. This whole difference between the weekdays who say Shamar Misol Ohad, Shabbos Yantim, who say Efros Aleinu Sukash Lamecha, this is l'chatchila. But b'di'evid, if you say one or the other, you would be yotze in either. And then the Achronim say that we have a minig that on Leil Shabbos we say in between Parisuk Hashalom Aleinu and the Chatzi Kaddish, we have a minig to say Mishom Reneis Asa Shabbos, and on Leil Yantar we say Beidah Ben Moshe. And the Vilna Gaon did away with Baruch Hashem Li'olam, the Baal HaTanya also. They held that it's a hefsek, so you shouldn't say B'shamru, you shouldn't say Beidav Moshe either. I think the story goes that Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva was a mechutna with the Vilna Gaon. So he heard that their children were married to each other. So he heard that the Baal HaTanya was going to leave out B'shamru from the Siddur. So he said, how can you leave out B'shamru? The Malachim in heaven dance from joy when the Jewish people sing B'shamru. So you can't leave out B'shamru. So the Baal HaTanya put it back in the Siddur B'shamru. But he wrote that you shouldn't say it. He printed it in the Siddur because the Malachim are going to dance and heaven are going to jump from joy. But he wrote in his Shulchan Aruch Harav that you shouldn't say B'shamu, you shouldn't say Vaidava Moshe. It's a Shailef and Hefsa. Okay, maybe we'll stop here in Hilcha Shabbos. We'll continue to leave that next week. I'll just say a short Ratera on the Parsha. At the end of Parshas B'Shalach, you have the Mochemes Amolek, and the final pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore Kiyor Al Kesko, he swore by his throne, Al Kisi Hashem, Mochem Al Hashem B'Amolek, Migdor Dor. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, what does it mean, Kesko? It should say Kisei, it should say Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the Tanoim made a comment, Ein Kol Zman Shamolek Ba'olam, Ein HaKisei Shalom, Ein Hashem Shalom. What do you mean the Kisei is not Shalem? It's called Kesko instead of Kisei. Kisei means the royal throne. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is really the Melech HaOlam, so he has power over the whole world. So how does he allow terrible tragedies to occur? Amalek represents Tzadik V'ra La Rosh V'Tovah, the problem of evil. If we believe that there's only one God and he's a good God and he has full control over everything in the world, how does he allow such terrible tragedies to occur? How come he allows Tzadik V'ra La Rosh V'Tovah? There's so many terrible things happening in the world. Tzadikim are dying and Rishayim are prospering and so on. So if you believe there's more than one God, so there's a God of good, God of evil. If you say that God does know what's happening, he doesn't care what's happening, he's not a good God, also no kasha. If he say he doesn't have the power, no kasha. We don't believe in any of the terutzim. He has only one God. He has full power over everything. He's a good God. He called by the Abed Rachmon al Tabab. He said, how does he allow such terrible things to happen? So it's a kasha. So it's a murderous kasha. So that's what it means Kolzman shamolik ba'olam, kolzman that you have this problem of evil, ein akisa sholem, it conveys the mistaken impression as if the Rabbanu Shalom is not in full control. Akisa means the kisei amalchus, melech is in full control. It looks as if he's not in full control. What does it mean? Ein Hashem sholem. The Shem Hashem is Yudke Vavke. So Rav Soloveitchik once said in the name of his father, the Shem Ko, Ki Yor Al Keis Ko. Ko is one of the Zayin Shem Sheinim Chokim. So the Minchas Chinuch assumes that Ko is the first two letters of Yudke Vavke. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought maybe it's not. Maybe Ko is the first Yud of Yudke Vavke and the last Hey. Why so? So he thought that Yud K Vav K means Haya Haiva Vihiya. The Hey Vav in the middle means Hova. The Yud in the beginning is like Yelech, Yidaber, Yismach, Yochal. It means future. The Yud in the beginning of Yud K Vav K means Osid. The Hey at the end, Hu Asa. The Hey at the end is past. And the Hey Vav in the middle is Haiva. So this Man Shamolek Ba'olam, when there's a problem of evil, looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control. So the Shem Hashem is incomplete. Behaive, you don't see the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'ovar, there was. We know that Rabban Shalom was in control of the world. He created the world, and he used to do Nisim and Nifloas, and he used to punish the Rishoyim. And Be'osid, we believe it is going to happen. So the Osid is there, the Osid will be there, and the Ovar was there. But the Haive is missing. So that's where Moshe Soloveitchik thought that the Yud Kei, Kiyar al Keisko, is not the first two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's the first Yud and the last Hey. The first Yud means Ba'osid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the Malchus Hashem, will be obvious. And the Hey is Ba'ovar, it was obvious at times. And the two missing letters are the missing Hey Vav in the middle. And Lasid Lavoi, it'll be Hashem Shalom. So it's interesting, the minigin, I have 9 children, so one of my children got married, one of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. She married, she was in Eretz Yisrael so many years, so she married a boy who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And 3 of my daughters live in Eretz Yisrael. That daughter still lives in Eretz Yisrael. Her children live in Eretz Yisrael. So the minigin is in Yerushalayim, when you write a ksuba, or when people are writing a get, you write a ksuba, you write Yerushalayim chosa yud at the end. Yerushalayim, Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Mem. Why? Because the name Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh over 550 times or something like that.
Eretz Yisrael has 656.
Over 600.
But it does not check, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it appears 6 times. Yeah. He has 6 times Mala, including the first Pasuk in Daniel. And Asher Heglam Yerushalayim, but they don't all check out based on the text there.
Right. So Ruba de Ruba, almost all of them are written Chasa. Yerushalayim is written Chasa. Why is that? So the Tzlach, wrapped in the end of Brachas, Tzlach writes because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, I think, where the Navi refers to Yerushalayim as Kisei Hashem. What do you mean? Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, officially the Melech of Eretz Yisrael. So, this man is Eina Kisei Shalem. So, if Yerushalayim is the Kisei, and we refer to Baalam Hazeh, refer to Yerushalayim as Keisko, Eina Kisei Shalem, so you have to spell Yerushalayim Chosem. Lo'osid Lavoi, as Moshiach Bet Kumin, and the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be complete, and we will pronounce Yudke Vavke. It won't be Ko, he'll pronounce Yudke Vavke, then it'll be Yerushalayim will be spent Molei. Okay, Yerushalayim will be spent Molei. But right now, we spell Yerushalayim Chosed, it's Lach writes, because Ein HaKis HaShalem, Yerushalayim is the Kis HaShem. No, we should all be Zeichet to see that day, that Malchus HaShem should be obvious, that HaShem is in full control of everything in the world.
Amen.
We'll be there next week, we'll continue. We left off, we're in the middle of Ma'arif. Between Gula and Litvila. Okay, we'll take a week pause.
On Friday, when Purim falls out on Friday, people have the meaning that they go straight in and they make Kiddush and then they daven. Will the Grub be against that?
What do you say? When what?
When Purim falls out on a Friday.
When Purim falls out on a Friday, yeah.
People, they cover the challah, make Kiddush, and then they daven Meir. They finish their Shabbos, Purim and Shabbos, and then they daven Meir. Will the Grub be against that?
What do you mean? They start eating on Friday?
They start their Purim.
Yeah, they start the Purim Suda late Friday afternoon. That's not really right. That the din of Purim Mappa in Yerushalayim, they have such a minig. The Magen Avraham quotes such a minig. When Purim is on Erev Shabbos, he quotes from the Mordechai that there was such a minig that you do Purim Mappa Mekadesh. The Pashto says that Purim Mappa Mekadesh is b'di'evit. If you got stuck, if you were eating on Erev Shabbos and then it got dark, so then b'di'evit, what do you do? But to do it l'chatchila is not really right. Unless you say that Shas Hatchak Kediyevid, I mean, that's what the Achronim raised a possibility. Maybe this is considered Shas Hatchak, because you're busy in the morning running around taking care of Shalach Manis and Matanis Levyonim, and you want to have the Suda later in the day. But the Pashto says you should have the Suda in the morning. They once asked Rav Soloveitchik, who wants to have Fleishik so early in the morning on Friday morning? So he said, based on the Shulchan Aruch, you can have a tuna fish sandwich. Shulchan Aruch never says it has to be fleishig. The Rambam says it has to be basar v'yayin ad lo yada. And the Shulchan Aruch also, a little later, the Mechaber sounds like you do have to have basar on Purim for the Sudas Purim. So look, once a year you got no choice. You should have a Sudas Purim once in every couple of years when Purim falls out on Erev Shabbos. So you should have the Sudas Purim in the morning, and you really should have a basar v'yayin. Doesn't have to be such an elaborate Sudas. Usually the Sudas Purim takes whatever, 2 hours. So this year it'll take half an hour. Eat bekitza. So you don't have a tuna fish sandwich. You have a salami sandwich. Okay. Bekitza. Yeah.
And I think over 4 times in Tanakh, Yerushalayim is spelled for Yud at the end. Most of the times it's not. I thought that's why we don't spell Yerushalayim for Yud.
Right, right. Why is that? Why is it missing in 650 times? That's what the Tzlach writes at the end of Brachas, that because Yerushalayim is Kibli Hashem, Beinah Kisei Shalem. So, but Lasid Lava, it will be Yerushalayim will be Molech. Whoever will get married after Molech will be wiped out. Molech apparently was not yet wiped out. The Rambam writes that there's a din Achrim Tachrimim, the wipe out the Zayinumis, and then he writes a Kfar Ovad Zichram. There are no more Zainumis, Bosan Chevet, Bilbulus, Kolom, Kuloi, so there are no more Din of Zainumis. Then the Rambam writes the Din of Amalek. By Amalek, he never says, Kvar Obad Zichron. The Sefer HaChinuch writes like that. Sefer HaChinuch quotes what the Rambam wrote by Zainumis, and he applies it to Amalek also. So later, Svarim write, the Rambam never said it by Amalek. I want you to say also, Bosan Chevet, Bilbulus, Kolom, Kuloi, we don't know who Amalek is. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that the name of his father, the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, they thought that Amalek doesn't only apply to that nation of Amalek who already disappeared, Bosachem Bilbalos Kolon Kulai, but any nation who are atheists, Lo Yor Elikim, any nation that's atheist, who adapt as a policy to wipe out the Jewish people, they have a din of Amalek. So that was a chiddush. I remember when the German government offered reparations money to Medina Israel. So there was a big debate in the Knesset. I was a little boy before Bar Mitzvah. My parents lived in Philadelphia, and they had to send me to learn, had to send me to stay in New York by my grandparents after the fifth grade. The day school in Philadelphia, Beth Jacob Day School, only went to the fifth grade. So my parents had to send me for the sixth grade to stay in New York. I remember I was always complaining I didn't like my grandmother's cooking. I was always making fun of my grandmother, the way she spoke Galatiano Yiddish. I was always making fun of her. So every couple of weeks, my father had to come and take me home. I was a little baby, so I had to go home to Philadelphia and eat my mother's food. Then he had to take me back to New York. So I remember once on a Thursday night, he was going to take me back to Philadelphia, but Rav Soloveitchik was holding a drasha for the Mizrahi that night. So if he would come pick me up by my grandparents after the drosha, there were no more buses. The Greyhound didn't go all night long. So he had to take me to listen to Rav Soloveitchik's drosha, and then we took the bus to Philadelphia. So that was the drosha that he held for the Mizrahi. He explained why he thinks that it's not proper that they should take the reparations money. He said that according to his father, according to Rav Chaim, the Nazis had a din of Amalek, and you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek, even to take back the money that they stole from you. It's kula chiddush. The Nazis have a din of Amalek, and you're not allowed to take back even the money that they stole from us. Even after all the reparations money, they still stole more than they gave back. So that was what he said. At that time, the Israeli government took the money, and they used all the money to pave the highway. So years later, Rav Soloveitchik told Talmidim, apparently he was wrong. Some shaylas they paskim in Hashemayim. So this shayla, apparently he was wrong, because it turns out historically that the Israeli government needed that money for paving the highways. So in Hashemayim they demonstrated that it was okay. But then 20 years later, they had in the newspapers that when the Israelis used the reparations money to pave the highways, they did it all wrong, and they had to rip up all the highways and pave it all over again. So all the reparations money that went into paving the highways was wasted. So maybe he wasn't wrong. That's the shaila. Maybe originally he thought he was wrong because history proved that it was necessary. But then history turned out that it was all the money was wasted because they paved the highways incorrectly. Who knows? Okay, everyone should be healthy. But they never
had to. I have one question. So the shaila that regarding listening to the shofar in the Reform synagogue or conservative synagogue, where Rav Soloveitchik said that you shouldn't do it. Why didn't he paskin that it's asay docholos asay, and that the person should go and listen to the shofar?
Okay, good kasha. Okay, that's a good question. Asay docholos asay, it doesn't apply. Most of the time doesn't apply. It's a good question. Why not? Okay. Got to think about it.
The Shitas Rabbanon that Maariv starts after Shkia,
right?
Does that have any relevance lechatchila? Is that even lechatchila? In other words, Shmon Esrei without Kriya Shema, what is it only Bidiavad?
Yeah, okay, lechatchila nitzmichas gula letfila. But if a person wants to dab Maariv, so as I mentioned before. I think I mentioned before, the rabbi, when we were students in the yeshiva, Rabbi Gerelich said that the B'nai yeshivas in Europe, when they had a daven with the Balabatim, they had a daven Maariv early before Zeisel Kochavim, so they would only say Shmoneh.
Right.
Because the Ramah mentions that as a Midas Chassinus.
Right.
But it was an Machlokes from the days of the Gaonim. Is it okay to daven Maariv early after the Shkia before Zeis with the Birchas Kriya Shema or not? They were all along, there were two opinions throughout all the generations.
But a shayla, wouldn't it be? I mean, it wouldn't be. Wouldn't it be more like a mitzvah baba avera? Because you couldn't be kind of the mitzvah unless you did the avera. So,
no. Sometimes, when do you apply mitzvah baba avera? When do you apply esed dechalos esay? So
right.
You have to figure out what the klal is. Yeah. So usually we assume the klal is if it's biyitna, if it's bevasachas. Then Esed Dechala says, if first you're going to do the Avera, then the mitzvah is going to be later. It's not the Idna. Mm. Then it's called Abab Avera. I'm stealing a lulav. I'm going to use the lulav. So you don't say Esed Dechala says, it's not the Idna. Do the Avera. But if it's all the Idna, then maybe here it's not the Idna. Okay, you got to figure out. Why shouldn't you apply the rule of Esed Dechala says? Very good.
In the cases where we said you had to repeat Kriya Shema, then would you have to repeat the third parasha also?
The Rabbeinu Yoina has a chiddush. He thinks that the third parasha, you see, the first two parashas say B'shach B'cha Kumecha. So B'shach B'cha, the Mishnah holds B'shach B'cha says Hakom. The third parasha says Man, the Man Tisker Sen says Man San Kol Yemei Chayecha. So it never really says in the Pasuk Leilois. It says Kol Yamarba another Zman. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says after the Shkia is already another Zman. If it's Ben Hashmash, it says already not Yom. Yom is until Shkia. And then comes Ben Hashmash. Ben Hashmash is already a new Zman, so it doesn't necessarily have to be Laila. That's a Chiddush that the Rabbeinu Yonah has. That's a chiddush, that you don't have to repeat the third parsha. But the common practice is that whenever you daven Maariv before Tzeis, the people do repeat all the three parshias. The Gabbai will always announce everyone should remember to repeat all the three parshias. Yeah. Okay. You should all be healthy. Good.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good.